Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And for our good martini today, Jim, we go back to the polls. And once again, it's not necessarily very good for President Obama, but this time it's not the general population giving him a thumbs down. It's over 25% of Democrats queried by CNN and Opinion Research, 27% saying they would like to see someone other than Obama as the Democratic nominee in 2012. 72% say that they do think that Obama should be the nominee again next time around. When you're the only guy on the ballot, that's not really very good, and especially when there's been chit-chat from Bernie Sanders and others, probably inane chit-chat because they're not really going to do anything about it, about a possible challenger. This is not a good spot for the president to be in. The poll also talks about how Rick Perry right now is dominating the Republican race. But CNN buried this story about Obama, and to see that between a quarter and a third of his own party doesn't want him back is pretty startling.
Yeah, it's a couple of things worth noting here. Is that usually you'll get in, I've kind of kept an eye on this factor, you usually get about maybe one in five Democrats expressing, you know, a desire to see another name on the ballot or something like that. So it's not a skyrocketing figure, but it is starting to creep up there. Now, I concur with you that I don't think we're really going to see any – we're not going to see any Democrat primary challenge. The only way it would come from would be someone who has absolutely nothing to lose. And if the first name that comes to mind is Dennis Kucinich, because he's going to lose his seat in Ohio redistricting probably. And so he's been shopping for a new district, looking around in Washington State. And, you know, it's like a real estate market. You know, you're just kind of looking for a nice place to move, good climate, all that. But, you know, even he, if he's got this, you know, where am I going to, you know, represent next question going on, he probably won't have time for his quadrennial hobby of running for president. So the question is, who's left? And Feingold is not running for Senate. So the next question is, you know, who's out there? And unfortunately, there certainly doesn't seem any top tier figure who'd want to do that. And then the other thing is that, you know, so are any of these Democrats who are currently frustrated with Obama, are they going to not vote for him? You know, some of them may stay home. They're certainly not going to vote for the Republican. I think the bigger issue is, A, do they not donate to Obama? And B, do they not, you know, do the usual door knocking and stuffing envelopes and all of the various other little, you know, forms of activism that helped fuel the Obama campaign in 2008? I think that's perhaps the most significant number for the Obama campaign. And apparently they're trying new efforts of outreach at African-American groups and young voters, et cetera. And it seems like they seem to recognize that a certain number of his base believed the hype that they were getting hope and change and things would be a heck of a lot better 4 years later. And as we get closer to that date, that is increasingly appears to be not the case.
Yeah, absolutely right. The intensity gap between 2008 and 2012 is something I think Republicans have to hope for on the liberal slash progressive slash Democratic side. And it's been very interesting. You know, we've talked in the past couple of weeks about how some of his most rock-solid supporters in the past who aren't going anywhere come Election Day, like Maxine Waters, are still going after the president for the huge unemployment rate in the black community, where even somebody like her, who's usually got her head buried in the sand when it comes to reality, understands just how bad things are right now and knows that this president hasn't done a lot about it. And so if that message keeps getting out there, it's not just the base that's going to be a little bit deflated, but a lot of people who might actually be trying to determine who to vote for could end up being swayed by that. So it's been a very interesting trend over the last few weeks. On to martini number two now, and unfortunately Libya's back in its typical role here. It's the bad martini. Jim, it's been often been said, well, I'm not sure what could replace Gaddafi, but it certainly couldn't be worse. But unfortunately, it's probably pretty close, at least what some of these early indications are from this new transnational council that the United States has recognized as the legitimate government in Libya. Just in the past few days, since it appears Gaddafi has at least lost his grip on power, if he's not officially out of power, this council has refused to hand over the Lockerbie bomber, who for the umpteenth time is on his deathbed. And I'm sure we're going to hear about how this is just a sad case on and on until he's once again seen at a rally in a few days. Or you have the fact that multiple reports suggest that they're going to base their new government legally on Sharia law, which is going to make a lot of Americans happy. Or now the fact that the rebels are indiscriminately killing black people. And apparently that's because some of the mercenaries hired by Gaddafi were black. So therefore, they've decided that everyone who is black is a mercenary, and therefore they're killing them to the point where the African Union is saying that they can't even recognize this government because of this ridiculous and horrific policy. from this new government. So we knew a few months ago, Jim, militarily they weren't ready for prime time. Unfortunately, it appears when it comes to actually leading, they're not ready for prime time either.
I was one of the persons who thought intervening in Libya to prevent a massacre of Benghazi was a good idea. I'm glad to see Gaddafi's regime collapse. I think the day Gaddafi meets a hangman's noose or some other grim end, it'll be a good thing for the world. But as the Arab Spring and turns into the summer and the fall, we have kind of limited aspect of influencing events over there. And we always have to be kind of steel ourselves for the possibility that things may turn very bad very quickly. The fact that they're not turning over the Lockerbie bomber is perhaps the most stomach-turning element, at least from U.S. interests. The idea of vicious retribution and perhaps we'd even say blind retribution against people suspected of being Gaddafi allies is going to be bad. I think that to a certain extent we should recognize that as much as it's great to see some wonderful sights and people celebrating the fall of a terrible regime, this is still the Middle East, or at least in the case of Libya, North Africa. This is not a place where there are strong democratic institutions, and it's going to be messy because everything in this part of the world has been messy since people have been there, I would suspect.
Yeah, that seems to be the case. And when you factor in potential or in some cases believed to be verified connections to Al-Qaeda, it only gets dicier and dicier over there. So hopefully order can be restored. But as you mentioned, recent and a long-term history suggests that that's going to be a tough hill to climb. On to the crazy martini now. And Jim, I'm sure many of our listeners remember, you remember, and I do, I think, in passing, when Obama's aunt was discovered to be living in the Boston area illegally, well, now another member of the president's extended family has been discovered by the law up there. Drunk driving, his 67-year-old uncle is apparently in possession and has been for nearly 20 years of a valid Social Security number as well as a valid Massachusetts driver's license, despite the fact that he has been in the country illegally and at one point was scheduled for deportation. Obviously, it's kind of a just an embarrassing moment potentially for the president, but it once again paints the fact that our immigration system is hopelessly flawed, and his stop the deportation policy that he just did through executive order doesn't seem to be helping anything, as most of us probably would have suspected.
You know, Greg, I think one of the things that stories like this illustrate is that the kind of things that drive you and me buggy are not the things that drive the president buggy. You know, I was thinking about this in the context of, I was writing yesterday about the stimulus and how it went to replace five-year-old sidewalks in Boynton, Oklahoma. Now, you know, the locals were saying the sidewalks were just fine, but hey, you know, we had stimulus money, so let's do this. If I were Obama, having pledging that the stimulus money was not going to be wasted, that it was going to be used wisely, it was going to create jobs, et cetera, I'd be, you know, tearing my hair out or kicking the waste paper basket in the Oval Office, or, you know, we'd kind of infuriated that, you know, I had made pledges of something, you know, that money wasn't going to be wasted, and here it is going through something that seems wasteful. If I were him, I'm kind of surprised, no matter how he feels about this uncle, and it certainly seems that the two are not exactly close, why does that not bother him or infuriate him? Why are we not hearing even if it's just a brief statement from the president of, I have not been in touch with these members of my family, and I don't believe that anyone's, you know, family connection to me makes them exempt to the law. The law applies to all of us, and, you know, I will certainly not be intervening in these matters, et cetera, et cetera. Apparently, he had said, you know, refer to his nephew, and I kind of wonder, you know, how many people who've been arrested under suspicion of drunk driving have claimed the president's my nephew. down at the bottom of the story here in the Boston Herald is something fascinating that the president's aunt, Zitouni Onoigo, was reached and asked about this question and said, why don't you go to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. and ask your president, not me? And then she hung up on the reporter. One, I'm kind of interested in your president. I guess if she's an illegal immigrant, maybe she wouldn't be surprised at you. But certainly, he may be her nephew, but she's not actually considering him her president. And then two, it just seems like this, I don't know, there's a certain snideness to this, you know, that if you're an illegal immigrant and you haven't been deported yet, I think I'd like to see a little more positive attitude part, you know. Enjoy your illegal stay in the country with a smile, please. So, you know, it just seems like a great, vivid example of, as you said, of the failure of our immigration system, our failure to control our borders, our failure to weed out people who are living in this country illegally. And I think it's just observing, you and I look at that and say, God, what's going on here? And the president of the United States, if he even hears about this, I can't imagine it bothering him the slightest. And I think that's a kind of an emotional gap between President Obama and a large chunk of the American people.
Yeah, I don't think he cares about the fact she's here illegally. Apparently, based on those comments, she may be part of the 27% who don't want to see him renominated, though, since she didn't claim him as her own president. That could make it difficult for him, since he's, as we established yesterday, probably going to be relying on dead people and illegals to put himself over the top for re-election. So, very interesting. Jim, have a great day.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.